Hello everyone, welcome to Civic Banter podcast brought to you by Budgets. My name is Nancy Odemegwu. It's good to have you join us on this particular episode. Right, 2 months ago, precisely July, CNN reported that the planet recorded a hottest day. By hot, we mean, you know, everywhere is just hot, like very, very hot, you know, the sweat and everything. And if things continue like this, even they even said that it's going to happen again and again, meaning that is the hottest yet we've seen. There are still going to be more hot days. And it made me realize that, okay, countries are already transiting their form of energy. Nigeria, for instance, August last year, the government released a plan, energy transition plan in Nigeria. Of course, we know about that. We've heard a lot about it, and that is our focus for this particular episode. Let's look into energy transition, really understanding it and seeing the possible opportunities, you know, talking about the social opportunities and the economic opportunities, because it's not easy peasy for a country like Nigeria that everything we do is oil, that we get our revenue hinges so much on oil, and all of a sudden, because it is needed, let us add that, we're going to be transiting to a cleaner source of energy, right? And discussing it with me, or breaking it down for us to really understand it, is the head of extractive for Budgets, Adejoke Akinbode. She's joining us right now in the studio. Hello.
Hi, Nancy.
Thank you for joining us. It's been a while we graced your presence in our studio.
I know, right?
Yeah, we look forward to having a fruitful conversation. So yes, energy transition. We've heard about it, we've seen the hashtag, but talking about energy transition for the Nigerian man to understand, you know, forget the big grammar. How would you explain what energy transition really is for us to see, okay, we really need to do this? So if you were to talk about energy transition in the most simplest way possible, layman way possible, let's kick off with that. What would you tell us energy transition is?
Okay, energy transition basically is the, you know, migration of energy production and consumption from fossil fuel to cleaner energy sources. If we think about how we usually get our energy right now, a lot of it comes from things like burning things like coal, you know, oil and even natural gas. But the problem, there's actually a big problem with that, and the problem is basically pollution. There's a lot of pollution that is released into the environment, you know, exactly. So energy transition is, instead of relying so much on these polluting sources, we want to move, you know, towards using cleaner and more sustainable sources of energy. I mean, let's picture a car, for example. So, you know, you have a car that runs on fuel, then you want to switch to using an electric car that will run on electricity. So the electricity for the car will actually from the sun, basically solar. You know, you fix some solar panels on the roof of your car. Exactly. So there's no, you know, I mean, it's far better than you using fuel that actually releases the smoke into the environment, basically. So you want to transition from using dirty sources of energy to a cleaner one, to cleaner sources, basically. So I mean, that's just energy transition, basically. So it's not like the fuel is not useful, but it's better to, you know, to, it has more negative impacts on the environment. Exactly.
I want to pick the word dirty, because there's something I've noticed, and I think many people that are listening to us right now have noticed the same thing. When you take your generator, you know, now Nigeria, our light is not really constant, okay, but no, we're managing the small one they're giving us. But when there is no light, or when the electricity ceases, according to the Ibuman term, and then you turn on your generator, and the exhaust of your generator faces a particular direction, maybe a wall, for a long period of time, over time you realize that place turns black. When you touch it, it stains you. It's like, I don't know, black carbon or something
black
like
suit.
That. Black suit. Yes, exactly. That is just from one generator. So is it like, okay, those suits now are pollution, of course, but then they are damaging the atmosphere.
Of course, I mean, imagine you inhaling that kind of thing into your body system. I mean, if you look at, and that's one thing that's actually been a big problem in Port Harcourt City, you know, these black suits that they always experience because of, you know, all exploration. I mean, in Port Harcourt, you can sleep and wake up and just touch your tables, your chairs, and your hands are black. So imagine you inhaling that kind of thing for years into your body system, the kind of negative impact it will have over you. So that's why globally everybody's trying to shift towards cleaner energy, renewable. So I mean,
both for health and for environment
purposes. Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, thank you for that explanation. I think that does it. So now let's look at the fiscal implication, right? right now, our major source of revenue comes from oil. We're a rich oil country, and over time, previous years, now currently, it's oil. That's why when you check the budget, you see oil revenue and non-oil revenue, meaning oil is like a major player for Nigeria revenue generating capacity. So now, if we're now shifting, we're not saying the shifting is a bad thing. Of course, I mean, it's good, it protects the environment, which of course protects the health. But if we're shifting, what implication would that now have on a country like Nigeria?
So to be honest with you, there'll be some implications of energy transition in Nigeria, because like you said, we are heavily dependent on oil.
Yes, we are.
You know, so but then if you look at Nigeria's dependence on oil, we have some of the implications would be, subnational crisis, saving stagnation, debt spiking, exchange rate volatility. If you look at saving stagnation, for example, the country has tried to, we try to keep a decent balance in our excess crude accounts. And basically, money that they save in the excess crude accounts comes from oil revenue.
Even the name excess crude accounts.
Exactly. Yes. So if you're talking about energy transition, it basically means that it might be difficult for the federal government to actually save funds in these excess crude accounts, because you want to shift from oil. Yes. So what then, how do you save for the rainy days? So that's one of the implications. If you also look at when you talk about subnational crisis, we are all aware that every month all governors meet in Abuja, to share FARC allocation.
Yeah.
So and the money from FARC basically comes from oil revenue. So how do these states, we have 36 states in Nigeria, how do they survive without oil revenue? And I think one thing that they need to look at is how to actually work hard to improve and increase their own IGR, their internally generated revenue. So that's another, fiscal implication. Exactly. That's another fiscal implication when it comes to energy transition. But the thing is, we said it is a transition. So we will still be, we'll still be carrying out our oil exploration while we try to transition to cleaner energy. So we can actually mitigate the slump in the oil sector demand in the long run. And one of the things two major things that Nigeria can actually do is to, scale up domestic refining capacity and also expand into new markets. When I say scale up domestic refining capacity, yes, I know we are trying to transition, but the period in which we are transitioning, we can still ensure that we get maximum profit from our oil. We actually need to make efforts to ensure that our domestic refineries are actually functioning optimally. They need to look at how to rehabilitate these existing refineries, mm-hmm. so that they can actually be, functioning instead of us, exporting our crude oil in order to bring in refined products. And also, governments actually need to give enough support to private refineries. Look at the Dangote refinery. If we can have like 5-6 of such private refineries in the country, things will be better when it comes to oil. One thing government can actually do is to ensure that they put in place the right policy tools and conditions that will actually ensure that these privately run refineries are functioning optimally, And when I say expand into new markets, despite that we are trying to, not only Nigeria, if you look at Africa as a whole and globally, we are trying to shift to renewables. Between now and 2050, oil demand is actually expected to continue to increase in Africa, right? And what this means is that the region will actually continue to sustain the oil market to a certain extent. So what Nigeria can do is to actually ensure and plan to dominate the oil market in Africa for like the next 3 decades, this we actually, it should reflect in our infrastructural investment that we actually facilitate, and it will facilitate an efficient mode of transporting both crude and refined petroleum products across the continent. So if you tap into this, we can still benefit massively from oil revenue while transitioning to new energy.
All right, thank you. So you've explained that extensively. Now let's talk about the roadmap to financing this thing, because truth be told, there's going to be money. We need money, right? It's a good plan. That's on the part of the government. Kudos to them. Apart from the fact that the world is changing dynamics right now. Of course, Nigeria is going to move along with it. But how are they? What is the plan? Is there actually a roadmap to financing this particular plan? How would the transition be financed? You know, and what are the options? Where do they want to source some of these funds from?
Okay, I mean, if you look at the Nigeria's energy transition plan that was launched last year, the government actually indicated that the bulk of the funding for the energy transition will actually come from the private sector. But beyond the private sector, we can actually look at other financing options, because you can rely on the private sector 100% for the financing. So, I mean, you can look at, talk about subnational government partnerships, you know, talk about green bond, talk about repurposing fossil fuel subsidies, talk about concessionary multilateral loans. I mean, for the private sector, government can actually seek the support of the private sector in funding renewable energy grid programs, and also the distribution of these grid programs to residential and industrial areas. You know, both the private sector and government, they actually need to expand funding for national gas projects as well. The government can also provide some tax incentives that will actually guarantee some climate-driven projects for the private sector. This will actually encourage the private sector to want to invest in energy transition for us. You know, if you look at the subnational government partnerships, what government can do is actually to try to use some new constitutional amendments, you know, to engage state governments in building sustainable energy projects, you know, maybe through provision of loans and equity arrangements for the state government as well. Also, green bonds is another major financing options that the government can actually look at. I mean, central government issues rounds of green bonds you have to deliver some programs in local communities, especially in an inclusive manner, especially small scale energy projects, because if you're looking at the local communities, you have to come down to their level to what they can actually tap into as well. So concessionary multilateral loans, the government needs to actually seek for some loans to support access to energy especially in low-income households. You know, let there be some, you dish out some loans to low-income households so that they can actually tap into them. They can access energy, this new energy that we are trying to, tap into as well. One last thing again is the repurposing of fossil fuel subsidies. Thankfully, we've ended subsidy now in the country, so we can actually look at the money that we actually spend on subsidy, and it can be repurposed to provide cheaper access to small scale renewable energy projects for the country, and some clean cooking programs as well. And I think these programs can actually target the most vulnerable that actually do not have the capacity to pay back under an accountable framework. If the government tap into these financial options beyond the private sector that they indicated in the energy transition plan, I think we should be able to finance our energy transition on the long run.
All right, thank you. So now let's talk about the opportunities, the investment opportunities, because the state of the economy currently is not really it's here and there. It's not really favoring the average Nigerian at a particular time. Of course, you said the subsidy has been removed, and so people are barely getting by now. So what are the opportunities that Nigeria government can tap into to ensure that the transition moves smoothly, like the investment opportunities that can be explored?
So there's a whole lot of investment opportunities that the government can tap into when it comes to energy transition. I mean, we have the likes of the renewable energy, we have the likes of the low carbon energy solutions, establishing public private partnership investments. For example, look at renewable energy. The development of renewable energy sources, actually it will open up the prospect of increasing the indigenous energy supply, which on the long run, we contribute to greater self-sufficiency. It is going to create new options to respond to the energy requirements of both the rural, industrial, and other sectors, basically in the country. If the government can actually pay more attention and focus more on providing on renewable energy, if there's an ambitious plan to, let's say, provide solar systems to like 5 million homes, it might, this is like a great sign, it might be a great signal towards a sustainable energy mix. So government needs to focus more on seeking other alternative energy means as well, such as we have the biogas, we have small hydropower systems. These are also very, very important. Also, I mentioned low carbon energy solutions as well. And we were talking about low carbon energy solutions. These are basically technologies and practices that actually produce energy. They produce or use energy with minimal greenhouse gas emissions. You know, so if we adopt clean technologies such as earlier on, I mentioned electric vehicles, and also electric stoves, is an investment strategy in the energy transition. But if we have to be honest with ourselves, so given the significant population living in poverty in Nigeria today, so research on low carbon energy solutions for low income households is actually much needed, especially looking at the rural areas of Nigeria. The government needs to identify the appropriate and affordable low cost technologies that can actually suit these people. Another thing how government can actually, make better investment decisions when it comes to energy transition is to establish some public-private partnership investment. And I think this will also allow the private sector to also make investment decisions and avoid loss-making projects. The private sector will be able to take advantage of the public sector expertise when it comes to project selection, when you talk about capacity development and so on.
Apart from the fact that oil feeds our revenue, we also have communities, they call them oil producing states or oil producing communities.
Host communities.
Yes, host communities. Thank you so much. We also have host communities that benefit, or they have a particular percentage. That's the 13% derivative now, to the best of my knowledge. They have certain percentage that goes to them when the revenue comes in. So where do they now stand in all of this?
So when it comes to host communities, let's just say the Niger Delta communities, there needs to be a serious conversation regarding how the environmental and socioeconomic damage sustained by these communities, because of oil exploration will be remediated, especially in the face of oil revenue shortfall due to the impending energy transition. And the truth is that the governments have not factored this in the Nigeria's energy transition plan. It's actually a very important element that appears to be ignored by the country's energy transition plan. And I see it as an erroneous oversight, which that actually needs to be corrected urgently to, avoid problems that may come in the future. So what the government needs to do is to actually aggressively, promote the adoption of renewable energy in these communities. And they need to raise awareness on the community level and simulate engagement and participation when it comes to energy transition agenda setting. Mm-hmm. And another thing is these community members actually need to have a better understanding of what energy transition entails, its benefits, of course, which supersedes fossil fuels use. And since the government they've not included it in their plan, it's something that the government needs to actually, look into. And community members need to actually start engaging government in demanding for an inclusive and just energy transition. And we've been doing that at budget, We've done like 2 meetings with community members in the Niger Delta region, just to especially the women and youths, because they use this energy more. So just to
engage them,
enlighten them that so this is what the energy transition plan means. This is what will happen when we transition into renewables. So we just want government to make it a just energy transition, and make it an inclusive one, basically.
So, but I'm looking at it from another angle. For instance, now, let's say, for instance, host community A has oil in its community. That is why it is having a share of 13% derivative when the oil revenue comes in. But when we now stop the oil exploration, when we now shift to a cleaner energy, meaning we'll stop mining or stop taking oil, reduce the amount, that means that the money that host community are supposed to get, the relevance, in quotes, it stops. Won't they consider it as, witch hunting? Won't they be against the transition?
So the truth is, if you ask me, how much are they even benefiting now that that all exploration is taking place? I mean, the environment is damaged, and that is why we want them to, you know, have an understanding of energy transition, be able to ask questions from the government. Okay, so when you stop all exploration, what do you want to do to our environment to make it like go back to, if not, of course, it cannot go back to 100% of how it was before oil exploration, but at least can you do something to our environment that we can have our livelihood back before oil exploration? Because I mean, if the Niger Delta region, most of them are fishermen, right? Yeah. But because of oil exploration, they cannot do that again. So what, how will government remediate the environment back for them
so that they don't record it as a loss of
exactly okay. Exactly.
Okay, so I understand it. And so the government should just factor into the plan, okay?
Some remediation, exactly.
Look for a way to make sure that their means of survival is not terminated.
So exactly.
All right, no problem. Thank you so much. So now let's hear your 2 cents. I mean, you've said so much about this. It's a fine plan. You've also taken us through the financial aspect of it, how the government, the roadmap to you know, getting this fund and all. You also touched on investment opportunities and now the plan for host communities, right? So that brings us to the end of the conversation, but in your own word, what are the advice, what are the recommendations you're going to give to the government going forward on how to properly navigate this plan to ensure a smooth transition, like you said, a just transition that favors both the government, the environment and Nigerians?
There's a whole lot of ways that the government and the country as a whole can actually, you know, respond to this energy transition. Government needs to ensure that they are very responsible when it comes to public spending. They need to take advantage of the natural gas market. They need to, I mean, let's look at infrastructure development. It's something that government needs to prioritize as well. And if you look at human resource and skills development. And I think another sector that the government needs to pay attention into is the mineral sector. They need to aggressively build the metals and the mineral sector. I think that's still one sector that the government is lagging behind in the country. We have a whole lot of minerals in Nigeria that can actually generate enough revenue for it, yes, that we are not tapping into. So the government needs to actually, you know, develop the solid mineral sector. They need to take advantage of the opportunities that are available, you know, especially the vast majority of mineral resources across the country. I think we have over 40 minerals in Nigeria. They need to consider that we can get a whole lot of revenues from the mine industry, and they should tap into it to actually enhance the fiscal sustainability and you know, economic growth and development.
All right, thank you so much. And that's about it on this particular episode. We've been discussing energy transition in Nigeria, and we took a look at the social and economic opportunities. We've had the head of extractive, Alijoke Akinbode, for Budgets on the show with us this particular episode. Right, you also can be a part of the conversation. It's a good plan, and so we implore you to support the government. Of course, what's better for the environment, it's better for all of us. My name is Nancy Odiomegu. Be a part of the conversation on our social media handles at BudgetNG on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, on Threads. Yes, we're on Thread as well, so be a part of it. Look forward to having you on the next episode. Have a lovely one.